How good would this be for a football chant, Lumen? Ooh, baby. I feel like the music sounds better, Giroud.
Very good.
Welcome to A Different Corner, the casual fans fantasy football podcast. The vibe around here is the kids are at school, grab a coffee and listen to us while you answer some emails. I'm Manish Verma and I'm the Andrew Ridgely to the George Michael of the show, my friend, Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I mean, I wish I had the voice, the blonde perm, all of it, but alas.
You've got the star quality, Lumen. You've got the star quality.
I don't know. I don't know if this is an attempt to like play to my ego and hope I drop some points, but we'll see. We'll see.
You're the star of the show because of the points you've been getting, because each week. So if we were doing, we have a mini league, just us two, where we go head to head each week. And at the minute, there've been four game weeks. I am 4-0 down. You are 4-0 up, because none of the game weeks at the minute have I even got. The closest I think I've got to you is maybe this week within 6 points of you. But otherwise, you have now built up something like a 50-point gap on me. Let's go for the points reveal straight away then.
Okay, so this week, 81.
81 points. Let me just put it out there. The average was 72. Okay. My big points reveal, 75. So you are 6 points ahead of me again. You've managed to beat me once more. Where did your points come then, Lumen?
Well, as we discussed last week, we've got eight players starting the same. So the difference is going to be in those players we don't have in each other's teams. Jared Bowen again.
It's the West Ham man, Jared Bowen again. Who is the difference, right? So he got 7 points, yet another goal. I was surprised he didn't get any bonus points.
Yeah, me too. But looking back, I think the bonus points went to Zuma because he scored. And Ward-Prowse, even though he only got an assist, those things always puzzle me. But yeah, would have been nice to have had some bonus points on top. But I mean, I'm happy, but first world problems could always be better.
Well, it could always be better. For you, things could have got a lot better. Because on your bench, your first sub was
Evan Ferguson.
Oh my gosh. Brighton's Evan Ferguson, 18-year-old kid going up against Newcastle. Actually, we didn't even know he'd be starting. If you look at his minutes that he's played, it's a bit all over the shop, isn't it? It's like 12, 20.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't start him. And you know when you have situations where you've got points on the bench, it's not so bad if you've got players who started and have got your point. But in my situation,
Nicholas Jackson, Chelsea. So the reason you got him in was because last week he played Luton. All right. He got a goal. This week he played Forest at home, and Forest away from home generally don't do anything. And it's not like Nicholas Jackson couldn't have scored. He missed an absolute, it was on a plate for him. I've got Nicholas Jackson, so that's the reason why I'm paying particular attention. It was on a plate. How did he miss that chance? It was unbelievable.
Do you see enough in Nicholas Jackson that he's going to start putting these chances away?
No. So my brother-in-law is a Chelsea fan, as you know, and I talked to him about Nicholas Jackson. He's raving about him. He reminds me he's got a touch of the Timo Werners about him. The guy used to be blistering, used to get in all the good positions, and then it used to come to him and he's like, oh no, I don't know what happens to him in front of goal. I'm getting the same vibes from Nicholas Jackson. So for me, I'm ready to ship out now because that's a good test, right? Luton and Forest, one goal. For me, not good enough when there are other strikers there that could be getting you points. But okay, so Nicholas Jackson, we touched on. Yes, you had Evan Ferguson, 17 points on the bench, and that's a bit of a wounder.
Yes, it is. And it's a wounder because, I've had a good start this year, but I know the main reason I'm disappointed is because of NHP.
NHP.
So NHP is something that I was having to think about very recently. Now, we went on the average points for this week, which is 72. But for me, the bigger indicator of how well you've done is NHP, which is non-Haaland points.
Okay.
It's absolutely absurd, the situation with Haaland. To put it in perspective, Mo Salah, when he was absolutely at his peak, getting more points than Haaland did. I mean, Mo Salah, even he was topping out at 75% ownership. Haaland is at 91% ownership. It's absurd. So when he gets those points for you, you're happy, but everyone's got them. It's only certain people who are strange who don't get those points. Like, a quick aside, one of my colleagues, honestly, I'd love to know what goes on through people's heads. He was doing really well. He was not too far behind me. He'd had a great start to the season. And then he decided to do his wild card for some reason. And he's a Chelsea fan. And he put all his eggs in his Chelsea basket. He put in Gusto. He put in Sterling. Jackson, and he captained Antonio this week.
Holy moly, what? What points did he get in the end?
Oh, it wasn't pretty. It was not pretty.
Imagine.
I'll just have a quick look and tell you, but yeah, it...
Antonio as captain, that's a bold move when Man City are playing Fulham at home.
He got 51 points this week, right? So, so non-Haaland points for me is the real barometer of how well you've done, because it shows, and it's magnified this year because there's no Kane. If there was Kane, there'd be that variety. But it's up front, if we look at the strikers so far, Julian Alvarez has done well, and people who've backed him have done well, but Pep Roulette and all of that, you've got to keep a close eye on that. Evan Ferguson, we've already discussed, he's been in and out of the team. The Newcastle boys haven't been firing on all cylinders. Tayo Ayoni, he started well, but again, if you look at his points totals, four, fives and sixes, they're good. But so it just magnifies everything. And that's why... I know we talk about first world problems... and all of that, but NHP for me is going to be a huge thing this season. So I'm going to be looking at who else is getting me the points.
I would say your NHP then, if we take away your 40, because you captain Haaland, you're still on 41. So you got 41 points from elsewhere. No other double figures, but fairly high scoring. Salah at 8, Bowen at 7, Saka got 4. I think he should have scored a goal as well. And Mbeumo at 8 as well. Mitoma, another assist at 5. My points again, defensively, 2s and 1. 2s, Pickford got 1. He scored an own goal, but he made a magical save at the end. Mitoma 5, Salah 8, Mbeumo 8 again. And Mbeumo was frustrating because I watched Match of the Day and the guy missed a sitter. He should have scored 2, really. But Brentford should have run away with that game, I thought. I don't know how Bournemouth managed to get a point there. But what gives me a bit of heart there is that he's getting in them positions, and he's always, when Brentford attack, he's generally there or thereabouts. And that that makes me think, okay, I've got to keep him. My strike force didn't do very well. Jackson at one. Wissa, I was a bit disappointed. Bournemouth at home, I thought he would be around there getting goals or assists. Only 2 points.
Yeah, but they hit the post like 3 or 4 times. It was absurd to watch. I'm interested to know the 3 players that you had that I didn't have, who they all let you down. Pickford, Colwill and Wissa, what's your thoughts on them long term?
Well, Pickford's gone. Pickford is gone. So I'm basically very an international break away from using my wild card pretty much. I've got, now that everyone, the transfer deadline's, you know, is shut now, the transfer window is shut. And hopefully after the international break, we'll get an idea of injuries. I'm very close to, because I need to make wholesale changes. Pick Everton are just, yeah, I wouldn't be optimistic if I was an Everton fan by the start of this season. Colwill, yeah, you know, Forest at home, I'd expected a clean sheet. He's only 4.5.
They've got a great run of fixtures as well. It's
Chelsea
crazy.
Have got a good thing.
Yeah. Their next fixtures, Bournemouth away, Villa home, Fulham away, Bournemouth away. I mean, they've got a great run of fixtures. So, and that's why I put Malo Gusto in as a Reece James replacement. But let me down. But, I mean, fantasy football, very enjoyable, but nothing beats the real thing. And... Tell me all about Sunday, where you were, where you watched it, and your emotions throughout.
So we've got a common enemy in that I'm an Arsenal fan that grew up through that whole era of late 90s and early 2000s. And then you're a Liverpool fan, so you've just got to hate them anyway. And beating Man United is just always just, it's the fixture for me. I'm not from London, so the Spurs thing is never... It's always there because they've been better than us in the last few years, barring last year. But the United one really just gets me. It just gets me. So whenever we play them, it's that one in the season. And yeah, beating them is just so satisfying. The way we beat them was so satisfying. It was a bit of a topsy-turvy game. But here's the thing with... And I mean, I've got Onana still in. I had Rashford in. The 2 week game weeks... He didn't do anything. I had him. The 2 game weeks, he has scored points. I got rid of him. Maybe I'm speaking too early in the season. I don't know what United are doing. I'm not sure if I buy into them being a threat. I do rate some of their players, but I'm not sure about Man United and being up there this season. You know, when you have to bring on Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans, that's that, you know, that top 14, come on.
Yeah. My two issues with United, firstly, you know, Ten Hag's shown this ability of getting points out the bag, even when they're doing badly, which, you know, so the 6 points they got were in games where they were outplayed, you know. And, you know, what's going to be interesting is my friend, who's a United fan, reckons that it's to do with this new style of play and they're still bedding in. So the first thing I'm going to be looking at is long term, you know, just how they settle down with all of this. But what also factors into my thinking is value. When you've got the likes of Fernandes and Rashford, 8.5 million and 9 million, but then... the Arsenal midfielders are less. Who would I rather go for? Do I rather go for midfielders who are producing in a good team rather than midfielders who are, you know, not producing in a struggling team. So the United players, the price is very prohibitive for me.
It's not like they won't score points. Now that Rashford's on the score sheet, you know, 2-2 now, I think he'll have an okay season. I just think you're right. As a team, you've got to, if the choice is there for that much money, you've got to look at Arsenal. You've got to even look at Spurs, because Madison, Son, these guys are doing it. Their points has been, I mean, I just had Madison up here a second ago, 9, 3, 10, and 7 in the last, in the four game weeks we've had so far. Son, of course, he's had a slow one, but then he bangs a hat trick. Like, you know, he's capable of that, especially with Kane not out. So that money, you've got to reconsider. And then you've got to go that price bracket below. We've mentioned Jared Bowen. He's been getting consistently. And this is a theme for me at the minute this season. It's Haaland up front. It's a no-brainer. But midfield, you can stack up with these expensive-ish, but not your top tier. You could probably sacrifice a Salah and get all of them in. Right, you could get Son, you could get Madison, Odegaard, Saka, Bowen. You could probably stack them all with them, but obviously you then wouldn't get a Salah. But midfielders for me this season at the minute have been on fire, and it's just like, which do you choose? That's where I think is really interesting this season.
Yeah,
I actually think we're getting to a stage at the minute in midfield where you might have performing midfielders, but you have to consider now, I think we might be getting to the stages, are there midfielders outperforming them? So Mitoma, for example, he's been getting numbers like 5, 12, 1, 5. Not bad numbers, good numbers. But actually, then you've got to look at midfielders who are outscoring him or out-assisting him. He's getting you points every week, but is there a midfielder at a similar price bracket or maybe a little bit more that might get you even more? So you kind of sacrifice that. I've always historically thought, oh, you're getting me points, you stay in the team. But actually, maybe I should be looking at, no, this guy's getting even more points. I need to get him in the team.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And what I would love to tell you about is, as a proper football fan, when I'm watching games, how easily I write off players in games. So I was writing off Salah because he keeps getting the ball, but you know he keeps missing chances. But it's just the sheer volume of chances that he gets, which sees him score in the end. So he does frustrate me. But the one that I'm very tempted about, but I need to know from you, is Saka. I've got to say something here, Manish, and I'm sure you disagree with me, but I spat my bowl, cereal out my face when I heard this. You know, sell Mo Salah for 250 million and get Saka in. Saka, productivity wise, he can't even half match what Salah does. So the question is Saka worth it?
Fantasy football wise, or for Liverpool to try to bid for him and buy him?
For Liverpool, it's a no-brainer. There's no player in the world now who can replace the goals, assists, and fitness levels that Salah produces year in, year out. So that's not even a discussion. So, yeah, fantasy football-wise, what do you think, Saka?
So let's have a look at Saka's numbers. He's got 10 on the first week, 3, 8, and 4. For me, so I'm an Arsenal fan, of course, and just generally in a game, he's one of our two most influential players going forward. Him and Odegaard, for me, drive that side of us going forward. And he is almost always there or thereabouts. Whether it's Martinelli swinging something in, he's at the back post. Or whether it's him coming in from the right-hand side, cutting in on his left, swinging something in. He beats fullbacks left, right, and centre. They just don't know what to do with him. He's sometimes on penalties. The odd one, he's taken off them. And for me, he's a bit hit and miss. But I just think he's always there or thereabouts. And with a goal or an assist. I love him. I actually love him. He should have scored a goal. He got an assist, but he should have scored a goal. That was pretty easy for him. I thought. And so, yeah, for me, you have to have, for me, you have to have Bukayo Saka in your team. But then you look across Odegaard as well at the minute. The guy, what Odegaard is doing is every time he shoots, he does that thing, which I love, is just get it on target. And then let's see what happens. But yeah, Bukayo, I just think Bukayo is consistently always an attacking threat for us. Always an attacking threat. Unless fullbacks, in which they do, double up on him, then he can be quietened. And then you switch it. We switch it to like a Martinelli or someone. For me, I'm not looking to replace him anytime soon. He will probably get, like, I remember last season, I didn't have him as captain. You had him as captain near the end. And I think he scored 2 goals or so. He bagged like 30 odd points for you. He's got that in him as well. He's got that in him. So, yeah.
He does. But I'm looking for consistency. That's the key for me, is consistency. So it's going to be interest between Saka, Martinelli and Odegaard. But whilst we're on the subject of Arsenal, just a quick one. Do you see Arsenal, their defence improving and them keeping clean sheets anytime soon?
The big question was Gabriel for Arsenal, whether he plays or not. I think I really like him there at the back. I liked our back four last season. The only one maybe was Zinchenko going backwards. We kind of sorted that with Timber. He got injured. So that was a big... I thought we might have solved our weakest defensive point there, but now he's injured. Saliba, I've got him in my team. The problem is last season, Arsenal defenders were at 4.5 million. This season, they're almost all at 5 million plus. And so there's your issue, I think, with Arsenal this season.
So in summary, what you're saying is even with Gabriel, clean sheets are a bit out of reach with for Arsenal.
What a line. Please, Lester. Gabriel, 90s pirated eye patch pop star, sang a song out of reach. And that's why people pay money to listen to this show, Lumen. It's for 90s references like that.
But, I mean, it's been a fantastic start to the season. All of these, midfielders popping off, the top six, getting points. But are you surprised by Newcastle's start?
So if we look at the Premier League table, I was looking at it the other day and thinking, where's my value going to come from? Who can I invest in who's got a false league position at the minute? I was looking at Burnley at the bottom, Luton, Everton, Sheffield. None of them I'm interested in. Bournemouth, I'm not really interested in at the minute. All Wolves, I kind of like because of Gary O'Neill, and I think he might be able to do something there. And then Newcastle are there at 14th. I know it's early doors, but Newcastle are 14th, 5-1 at home. They won and spanked Aston Villa, and everyone thought, yes, 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 yes. And then the tough fixtures come. Man City, they lost 1-0. That's respectable, you'd say. Liverpool, they lost 2-1, which on paper is respectable, but we know how that game went. 10-man Liverpool. And then they got spanked by Brighton 3-1. I think maybe Newcastle might be just, when it gets tough, I'm not sure if they're turning up against the big teams. And I wonder if they're going to go for this run in the Champions League and they might do well-ish there. But I don't know if they'll have the same league position as they had last year. And also the two Newcastle players that you want generally are the two strikers, Isak and Wilson. And my hot take here is I think Wilson's got to start over Isak.
Newcastle are in the same boat as Man United for me, where you've got to see how they're doing in terms of form. Once they start picking up form, then you have to consider the players. But for now,
I'm just looking at their fixtures, actually. And you'd think if Newcastle are about to show themselves or what they're going to do this season, they would do it in the next 6 fixtures. They've got Brentford, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Ham, Crystal Palace and Wolves. They are, for this Newcastle squad, should be winnable games. for this Newcastle squad.
Yeah, but then if you look, it's very, very risky. For starters, Trippier's too expensive. I mean, it's a lot of money. And, you know, I've still got PTSD from last season with the Isaac Wilson situation. I mean, I can't handle Newcastle's wicked games. You know, it's just...
Oh, Chris, you know, it took me a minute there, Lumen. Chris Isaac, wicked games. That was again a 90s. What a tune that was, by the way. Famously yes. used in an episode of Friends, which always sticks in my mind. But anyway, yeah. And the problem is as well with the pair. I'm looking at Isak's figures at the minute. Okay, got 13 points in the first game week, then 2-2-2, and he's not completed a 90 minutes yet. He's had 67 minutes, 65 minutes, and then 70 and 73 minutes. Wilson again, he's not completed a half of football yet. So I don't know.
But what did Wilson do this weekend?
Yeah, he came on, scored a goal.
I would rather not have the stress.
Yeah.
it's just they can keep the fog on the tine, you know. We don't need any clouded thinking down here.
So it's the international break, Lumen. Anything you're already considering for September the 16th when they return?
I'm in a situation where it's just play it by ear, where I don't want to jump on a bandwagon or off a bandwagon at the moment. I just want to see how players perform, you know, what impact international break has on injuries, etc. Of course, you always look at any players that are not getting you points. And the one player that is definitely on the chopping block is Nicholas Jackson. I mean, that miss is unforgivable and I'm never going to forgive him. So he can moonwalk all the way back out of my team, honestly.
So who are you looking at instead then? So that's a good chunk of change, 7 million.
Well, I'm not sure.
What we got fixtures-wise, let me have a look at fixtures. Wolves, Liverpool, you're not going to get much from Liverpool players for 7. Villa at home to Crystal Palace. I don't know if you'll get Ollie Watkins for 7 either. Spurs at Sheffield United. But which, I mean, I don't know. You mentioned Richarlison.
I don't want Richarlison. I can say that straight off the bat. But there's a number of players up for consideration. I'll put it that way. What about yourself?
It's hard for me not to look at that Spurs at home to Sheffield United fixture. I think Spurs are looking so good. Madison is just too good. But I need to get rid of Jackson. I need to get I think it's very likely I'll go wild card because I need to make so many changes.
And whilst we're talking about this, on first impressions, any new players to the Premier League impressed you so far?
Who have we had? Let me think.
There's one player that I was thinking of when I asked that question, because he has been special so far. I remember when Sandro Tonali played his first game and everyone was all over him, but then he's been absolutely quiet the next 3 games. Whereas there's one player, every game this season, he's been fantastic. And I can't believe him. We've got him, especially that no one else was in for him, and that's Dominic Szoboszlai. Woo! That boy has got it all. The technique, the control. He is a joy to watch, and I hope he has a long and successful career at Liverpool.
At the start of the season, we talked about Liverpool, their chances this season, what's likely, and you mentioned that midfield. There's no midfield. All of a sudden, you've rebuilt a midfield, no?
We have, but defensively, we've still got issues. And midfield-wise, defensive midfield is still an issue.
What about this new guy? Didn't you bring in the new Bayern Munich?
Gravenberch, 20-year-old, you know, he'll need time to settle in to the system as well. So it'll take time. But as long as we're picking up points, I'm not going to be complaining.
And you know what the thing for me is with Liverpool? Jurgen Klopp, man. Jurgen Klopp. He can take an average squad and turn them into at least Champions League. I mean, yours obviously not an average squad, and you've got Mo Salah still. And once, if you've got him, you've always got a chance. You're right, maybe defensively, but I don't know. It looks like that midfield has been, from an outsider, has been rebuilt. And I think I put you up there with, personally, I know you won't like to hear this, but I put you up there with Man City and Arsenal this season as title contenders.
I definitely not. I think we've got players, but they need time to bed in. I think we've had a good start, but two things. Firstly, we're always bad after an international break. But secondly, I am not looking forward to the impact of the Europa League on our season. It's going to be our undoing, unfortunately. So I think Man City is still the benchmark. I think Arsenal are just too leaky to sustain a title challenge. For me, if you look at the course of history, there's been teams that have won the league by not scoring many goals. You know, Leicester spring to mind. You know, Fergie's United one season got 68 goals, you know. But there's never been a team that's won the league with a bad defence. And Arsenal are too leaky to win the league at this moment in time.
Okay, well, let's leave it there. It's international break. I think we should do one next week anyway, looking ahead to things, yep, and keep up the momentum. But thank you very much, Lumen. We do need a good sign-off. We'll have to think about that, what our good sign-off should be for a Different Corner podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we've got to have faith and all of that.
Nice one. All right. Cheers, Lumen.
No worries. Take care. Bye.